Call your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Tonight I will, be God's will, hopefully conclude a lesson that I shared with you two Sunday evenings ago as we began this lesson entitled Great Benefits of Walking by Faith. Great Benefits of Walking by faith. We are indeed aware of what Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6 teaches us, that without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we know then that without faith we cannot please God. We demonstrate and we manifest our faith in God by walking with him, as we have studied even from our last time that we shared this lesson or began to share this lesson. And Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7. He says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Again, the faith that we have in God assures us that God's promises, or whatever God has promised us that we can have, that they are sure. That's what faith is all about. The evidence of things hoped for. The assurance that we will receive these things. God is a faithful God. Bible says he's faithful that promised. If he is faithful, then he also requires us to be faithful. And again, we manifest that faithfulness by walking with him. Two things I shared with us in the last lesson, and I'll just briefly review them, was number one of the benefits of walking by faith is that it demonstrates to us that we really trust God. When we walk by faith, that is a demonstration to us that we really trust God. Again, God knows whether we trust him or not. But we really need to know ourselves whether we trust God. He even said as much in Deuteronomy chapter 8 that he suffered these people that came out of Egyptian bondage to be hungry, that he might humble them and to prove them and to know what was in thine heart, whether they would actually keep his commandments. Again, God already knew that. But he wanted them to know that they trusted God. I also shared with us that another benefit of walking by faith is that it shows others of our conviction. And people need to know that we're really convicted. If we say that we love God and that we believe God and that we trust God, somebody needs to know that. No wonder the psalmist said, "Let the redeemed of the earth say so." We need to say it even with our mouths. We need to say it with our lives by showing people that we truly trust God. Show them our conviction. Job was a man of conviction. And he showed the devil that he trusted God. Not only did he show the devil that he trusted God, but he showed his wife that he trusted God. In spite of all of the questions that Job came up with, He still said that when he has tried me, I'll come forth as gold. That's trust in God. And that's showing others that we truly trust God. Tonight, let me go on and share the last two things that I planned in this lesson to share with us about the benefits of walking by faith. Thirdly, walking by faith causes God to credit us with righteousness. I talked about righteousness this morning, you would remember, as Paul reasoned with Felix and his wife Drusilla concerning righteousness. When we walk by faith, it causes God to credit us with righteousness. We read in Genesis chapter 22, the first three verses, where God demanded and commanded of Abraham to offer his son by faith. And Abraham did exactly that. He got his son, he got his servants, and he went up to the mountain to offer him as a sacrifice. And of course, you know the story there, that he gets up there and his son says to, and that's Isaac, says to Abraham, I see the altar and I see the wood, but where's the sacrifice? You know how Abraham answered, don't you? The Lord will provide. And the Bible says that he looked in the thicket, and there was a ram caught in the thicket. And of course, he offered the ram. But he had the knife drawn back, ready to take his son's life. But because he was willing to do that, the Bible says that God imputed righteousness to him. You know, it's little wonder. No wonder that he was willing to do that, because he had already, in years past, left his homeland, left his kindreds, and went out, the Bible says, into a land not even knowing where he was going. So he had demonstrated already his faith in God. And so he gets to this juncture in his life, and God asks him to offer his son, and so he's willing to do that. And the Bible says this in Romans chapter 4, verses 19 and verse number 22. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, and being not weak in faith, he considered his own body, or not rather, his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And then he goes on and says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And then the book goes on and says in verse number 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So he has left his homeland, and now he is at this juncture in his life, when a son is being promised, and he staggers not, knowing that God, believing that God, was fully able to provide or to do what he had said he would do, even though he was about 100 years old. And this same son, God now comes back and say, offer him unto me. So we see faith leaving his homeland. We see faith believing that God was able to provide him with the son, even though he was beyond, in his estimation, son-bearing or son-begetting age. But he put his trust in God. So God performed what he had promised him, and that was the son. God had demonstrated his faith to him. Now he is ready to demonstrate his faith to God by offering his son back to God. And because of his faith, the Bible says, God imputed this unto him for righteousness. Look at what the Bible says. Again, in verse number 22 of that verse. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. He had so much faith in God that he was willing to offer his son, believing just as God was able to give him the son, that God would raise him up. Look at what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 17. He says this: by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. The next verse says, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And the next verse it says, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. You see the faith that Abraham had? What faith? What a demonstration of faith. And because of his demonstration of faith, it caused God to credit, put on his account, righteousness. So we come to James chapter 2, that great lesson on faith that is being taught there in the earlier parts of James. He says there in James chapter 2 and verse number 21, I should say the latter part of James, verse number 21, notice what it says. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Verse 22 says, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Verse 23 says this, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He was called a friend of God. Because Abraham believed God, and Abraham did what God said, the Bible says it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now, the word computed is a verb. It's a transitive verb, which means it moves from the place where it actually is and goes to another place. Where is righteousness, brothers and sisters? Righteousness is in Christ. But when Abraham believed God, and when you and I believe God and do what God says, as we talked about this morning, then righteousness leaves Christ. That is, it doesn't leave Christ, and Christ is no longer righteous, but it leaves in the position of Christ. And then it comes over to us. That's called imputed. And put it on in another, put it in another way, it is put on our account that we're righteous. Now, again, off and in ourselves, we're not righteous. And we'll never be righteous in and off ourselves. The only way that we can be righteous is that Jesus has got to transfer his righteousness to us so that we can be a righteous people in God's sight. So then when I put my faith and when you put your faith in God and in Christ and live by his precepts and his command that is called obedience, then God credits us, or God imputes to us righteousness. It's like this. You owe a bill. And I decide out of the goodness and the graciousness of my heart that I'm going to pay your bill. Brother Pinchin owes this bill. I decide out of the goodness of my heart that I'm going to take care of whatever the bill is. You know what the person says? All right, we're going to write this bill paid. But you know what? Brother Pinchin still owes the bill. But the reason why he doesn't have to pay the bill is because I paid it for him. We still are not righteous. There's none righteous, no, not one. But we don't have to pay the bill for our sinfulness because Jesus has paid the bill for us. But we are still sinners, only justified and made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what imputed is all about. That's what putting on your account is all about. And so Abraham, with and of himself, was still not righteous. But because he obeyed God, he walked by faith, God put it on his account as being righteous. Don't we want to be a righteous people? Don't we want God to put that on our account? We can never pay the bill ourselves. But because of what Jesus did, the bill is paid for us. All we got to do is walk by faith. Meaning again, obey God. Do what God teaches us to do. God will account or will accredit us as being righteous. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is then to walk by faith. So when we trust again in Christ and in what God has done for us, he declares us righteous. Another scripture that even goes along with what we've just talked about is in Romans chapter 3. Look at what the Bible says there in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 beginning. The Bible says this, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is what? By faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. All have sinned and fall short or come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God," verse 25 says, "whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." God declares us righteous. We're not righteous. He declares us righteous. You remember what Isaiah said, don't you? In Isaiah 64, I believe it is about verse 5 or 6 or so. All our righteousness are as filthy rags in the sight of God. But because we put our trust and our confidence in God and we're walking by faith, he declares us righteous. Thank God tonight for the declaration of righteousness. So another benefit of walking by faith is that God causes God to credit us with righteousness. And then when we go back to verse number 23 of James chapter 2, we'll notice another thing that walking by faith, another benefit. The Bible says this, if we can put 23 up there again. "And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was what? Called the friend of God." I don't know about you this evening, but that's a great benefit of walking by faith, is to be called the friend of God. Why is it such a great benefit to be called the friend of God? Because before we began to walk by faith, you know what we were? The enemy of God. And you've heard me say it 1,000 times, if you've heard me say it once, that as long as we are enemy of God, we'll never win. We're always on the losing team when we are enemy of God. But when we begin to walk by faith, putting our trust and our confidence in Jesus, obeying his will, then the Bible says that as Abraham was called the friend of God because he walked by faith, you and I tonight, when we walk by faith, it gives us the privilege to be called God's friend. And I don't know of anything better tonight. Maybe you do. But I don't know of anything better tonight than to be called the friend of God. That's the greatest friend that I know. We all have our friends, and we're close, I'm sure, to our friends. But there is nobody as close to us as God and as Christ. It's a wonderful thing to be called the friend of God, but that'll never happen unless we walk by faith. Oh, yes. Jesus said it like this in John 15 and verse 14. He says, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." That's walking by faith, doing what the Lord commands us. And Jesus says, when we do that, we are his friends. Being his friends, then, again, we are no longer his enemy. We are reconciled to him. And being reconciled to him, therefore we are blessed spiritually by him. And that's the greatest blessings of all, is to be blessed spiritually by our Lord. And our friend, who sticks right by our side, will never, ever let us down. When we walk with him, he'll walk with us. When nobody else will walk with us, when we're doing his will, he'll be right there with us. The psalmist said it like this in Psalms 27, verse 9 and 10. "Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." The next verse he says this: "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." When the people that are closest to me, when they forsake me, you'll be right there and pick me up. Why? Because when we're walking by faith, he is our friend. And friends will not let another friend down. And as we experience our friendships among one another, let us not let one another down. But sometimes the devil will get in the mix and will influence us, and we'll end up letting folks down. But the devil can't handle God. The devil can't handle Christ. Christ and God will always be by our side. So when we walk by faith, we have the privilege of being called God's friend. Oh, yes, brothers and sisters, there are great benefits in walking by faith. So as we continue then to walk by faith, it has blessings for us to enjoy even now. And certainly there are eternal blessings for us to behold in the future. I leave us with this question tonight: are we truly walking by faith? If we're not truly walking by faith, again, we can shut the door to heaven. The door is shut to us unless we walk by faith. Great benefits in walking by faith. It demonstrates to us that we truly trust God. It shows our conviction to others that we trust God. If there's anything that can be more influential in helping somebody else to come to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is for them to see our trust in God. Walking by faith causes us to be credited by God for righteousness. And it causes God, or gives us the privilege of being called the friend of God. What a wonderful thing it is to walk by faith. So I ask us tonight, are we continuing to walk by faith? Or is there anything getting in the mix because of all of the things that go on in this life that's causing us to begin to doubt God, causing us not to trust God, causing us to seek solutions of our own doing rather than allowing God to work it out for us? We need to put our trust and our confidence in God. Only then will we be counted as righteous people. Because again, you by yourself, you in yourself, me by myself, and in myself, we are nothing. But when God is in the mix through our obedience, we are more than conquerors. Thank God then for the privilege of walking with him by faith. If you need to come respond to the Lord tonight, if this message means anything to you, if you're not living as God has directed for you to live, I want to encourage you tonight to make changes in your life. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, I encourage you tonight to obey God's will. If you need to confess of an erring way that you've repented of, I urge you tonight to do that. Or maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is tonight, we encourage you to come. Come right now while we're standing, while we're singing.
Burn out of sin that fire in the blood.